Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Om Bhunaktu Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastama Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila Chapter 17 The Lord Travels to Vrindavan. Then now we're discussing page 16. Okay, this is from... There was a great Mayavadi sannyasi named Prakashananda Saraswati. He used to teach Vedanta philosophy to a great assembly of followers.
We discussed it after the last class. We never heard that Prakashananda Saraswati had a leprosy. But from these descriptions, it appears that he was sick.
Prakashananda Saraswati. That was in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, I think. Not in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Is it the same or it's not? The same person.
Yeah. But who's not, he's not the same as his Prabhupada saying as Prabodhananda Saraswati.
No, Prabodhananda Saraswati is from the south.
Yeah, but some people think it's like that. Oh. But you'd have to see. Maybe he has, maybe he doesn't. But if Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that's the way it was, or Chaitanya Bhagavat, that's the way it was.
Okay.
You know, but the point is, since he's always saying about the Lord has no body, he's non-existent, then naturally leprosy or, you know, ending up in a wheelchair where you can't move and that kind of stuff, then is a natural form.
It's the evolution.
Yes, the evolution. Yeah, into a blob, right? Okay. 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 Being an impersonalist, Prakashananda Saraswati used to explain the absolute truth as being without hands, legs, mouths, or eyes. In this way, he used to cheat the people by denying the personal form of the Lord. Such a foolish person was Prakashananda Saraswati, whose only business was to sever the limbs of the Lord by proving the Lord impersonal. Because it's not a matter of just there's various concepts and things like that. It's just this is the way it is. Okay, so this is all from Chaitanya Bhagavat. And then this is from, Madhyakanda, chapter 20. Yeah, this seems to be a continuation of that. Although the Lord has form, Prakashananda Saraswati attempted to cut off the hands and legs of the Lord. This is the business of demons. The Vedas state that people who do not accept the Lord's form are rascals. The form of the Lord is factual, for Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, 15:15, Vidaish cha saver aham eva vedyaha. When Krishna says aham, he means I am, which means I, the person. He adds the word eva, which is used for conclusive verification. Thus, by studying Vedanta philosophy, one must come to know the Supreme Person. Whoever describes Vedic knowledge as impersonal is a demon, right? Because demon means they're against theism. Right, a deva means they're pro-theistic, they're theistic, and then demon means they're atheistic, you know, against. One becomes successful in life by worshipping the form of the Lord. The Mayavadi sannyasis deny the form of the Lord, which delivers all fallen souls. Indeed, the Mayavadi demons try to cut this form to pieces. Because you see is that when you say is by worshipping the Lord's form, one becomes successful, because we see that from his sarup, everything is coming. Right? Nothing comes from somewhere else. It all comes from the Lord's form. You know. So if you ignore his form, how can there be any auspiciousness? How you'll get anything? They don't accept the form, but it so says the person.
Yes.
That's the thing. It means all your Abrahamics say he's a person and this and that, but at the same time you say, well, what's his form? They'll say he doesn't have one.
Yes.
They'll all say that. So that's the difficulty, is that. And anybody who's gotten too much into the form and all that, they've been, you know, informed by, you know, the higher authorities that either they desist or, you know, there's, you know, they have other methods like that. So even amongst themselves, there's been a few that have been burnt at the stake, or they've had to readjust their presentation, or they escaped. Like, there's a whole group of Christians that have been in India for the last some thousands of years. Right? You know, it's not a recent thing. You know, like other places in the world, it's only the last, like, say, 500 years that became Christian. But here, they were, you could say India had Christians here before Europe did. You know, it means the greater part of Europe.
Yes,
that
yes.
came, I think, later with, what's his name? How you say, Charlemagne?
Charlemagne.
So then he spread it and made it, you know, established the Holy Roman Empire. So there are already Christians established in India before that, in South.
Before Christ.
Hmm?
Before Christ.
Yeah, even before Christ, they were already there. They were waiting. Hey, when's the guy showing up? You know, it's like that, you know. Of course.
This is something I've never understood to this day. How they listen to, you know, they hear God the Father.
Right.
And it doesn't register, okay, where is the Father? What is he look like?
Yes.
Does he leave? What does he do?
No, because then that means you want to know God. But this is why then Bhaktivinoda, of course, pointing out is within theistic philosophy, within the theistic consciousness, the Manamoy platform, you're going to have two levels, actually. Those who actually are serious about that God, you know, about God's, you know, position. And you know, and the other is that God's just part of their morality. So even though they're, you can say is that you're going to have even within, you know, various degrees within this, but for most, they're theistic, they believe in God, but God's just part of, you know, how their economic system works. You know, you pray, you need something, you pray to God. If it comes along on its own, then you don't necessarily do. Some that are a little bit more faithful and like that, then they may, you know, thank God for whatever nice things they get and everything like that, you know. So it's, and if God doesn't provide, they have doubts about God. They never have doubts about themselves, you know. Maybe I'm not getting because I'm a rat bag or something. No, that doesn't come up, you know. So it's basically they're just adding it on to their sense of mundane morality. Right, so there, and then there's those that also the farthest end of that is that those who accept that you get things work much better if there's a concept of a deity and there's worship of a deity, people can relate to that more. They focus more. The whole pranamoyic program goes much better that way. Everything develops better if you have that. So there are those who don't believe in God, but said that people worshiping God and all that actually is good for, you know, the whole social development. So you have quite a wide range of those who, you know, accept that there's a supreme, but, you know, it's kind of like there's a supreme, but, you know, that's for the kids, you know, or something. And then the Mayavadis will say that, yeah, it's fine that they worship, but ultimately then it's all, you know, impersonal. They give that all up. So then there's going to be, on the mundane platform, you're always going to have that, because their goal is not to know God. Their goal is to get benefit from God now and to go to heaven. And when, you know, when they say, everyone talks about go to heaven, so naturally be, what are you going to do there? You know, what's the relationship? What's the scene? You know?
You have this drawing of the new batch of arrivals in heaven, they're all like this. They don't know what to do.
They're on the Seventh Heaven app or something like that.
Looking for God.
Yeah. Means that. Who do we meet? Peter? Who was it? You know, checking their emails if you know they got something from.
And heaven, they think, is the spiritual world.
It's not. Yeah, it's just that. So that's the thing. I think Pataji was even mentioning much that, you know, Orthodox and all that. There's the idea that you go there for some time, and then after some time you come back here, continue here, then go back there. So it's just kind of, it's a whole, you know. So there's stuff left over from when they knew, you know, when it was known at some point, and then, you know, just that little bit. But point is because people are more materialistic and they become more and more about the externals and the facilities, less and less about the authority and all that. Then you see is that that's why people don't ask. So if you bring it up and discuss, as long as you don't get too much into it, the concept, you know, developing love for God and that aspect, then they're quite comfortable to hear. Like that. But you just don't take it too far, you know?
Like the connection between prophets and God. Like Abraham hears the voice. Moses sees the burning bush, hears the voice, gets instructions,
and
that's it. It doesn't go any further than that.
He set up to Moses.
Yeah, Moses.
Yeah. No, that's it. You see also before is they used to hang out in the tabernacle and talk to God. But after Moses, you don't really hear of that ever happening very much. It's very, very rare. So that's even mentioned amongst the, you know, the theologians. It's just culture changes. You see, previously it was more about their personal lives and their dealings within the tribes. And then after that, it's more about the, you know, social and political scenes and everything like that. So it's just with time, you know, it goes down. A lot happens over a few thousand years. You know, so.
And faith moves with miracles. No miracle, no faith.
Yeah. But you see, when Jesus, if he didn't do a miracle, you know, didn't take one loaf of bread and feed everybody, then they didn't care. You know. Well, what to do? It's a tough audience. You know, so that's just the way it is. Because living entities are here to try to control and enjoy. So there's a window when they might, Nard Muni talks about that in the seventh canto. He's talking about the four varnas, you know, and then naturally how they within their position can engage their life in the Lord's service. So they're already doing something that they could easily connect to the Lord. Right? Because that's the whole idea. Daiva Varnashram means you are here in the material world, so you have a conditioning, so you engage that conditioning in the Lord's service. That way you keep yourself busy. Right? If you try to do something that's not according to your conditioned nature, it won't work out. It means you can always fool yourself and say, no, you know, we can do whatever we like. But great, but that's somehow or another not what Krishna says. So good luck. You know? So then the point at the end of the chapter, then he points out about those who are outside the Vedic system. So for them, then you get a window. Because the other ones, it's always there. And it's just by association you could bring it up. And if they're sincere, they would take it up. And if not, then won't so much. But the others is that when there is a difficulties, because living outside the Vedic system will always create so much difficulties, because your following of God's laws is pretty haphazard. You know, some of the things that you do may be according to the laws, and some of the things you do may not be. So it's not properly regulated, properly organized. It's not scientific. And so there's going to be a lot of suffering from the, you know, intensely from the Adhyatmic Adhidaivic Adhibhautic. So at that point that someone gets frustrated, then Nard Muni mentions that's the window. Mm-hmm. And then they could come into Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
So if you catch that window, then it works. You know?
Yes.
Like that. And so that's why then you're always going out and throwing the net quite wide.
That window means meeting a pure devotee?
That means, yeah, coming in contact with the devotees, and that means that they'll take advantage of it. Because so many people they come across before but don't do anything. It's like the Harinam's going up and down the street for the last, 20, 30 years, and then a few people come in from it. Right? Because they don't have the Agyata Sukriti. And so by hearing that kirtan every day, that Agyata Sukriti builds. Then at some point, then they may ask. Either in this life or the next. Because like Prabhupada had mentioned, about I think it was discussion he was talking to the devotees about how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent all his disciples, and Prabhupada said, and Abhinanda Maharaj was saying about how we were so fallen and so sinful and this and that, and Prabhupada says no, but as soon as you came in contact, you took up the process. So it says it was just an external covering. Because you see, as soon as they came in contact, it is immediately like that. So you have, these different levels of what they've done and things like that. But so it's that when that opportunity is there, you take it. It's not like it's, in India, they've heard about these things. You can go to their house, do a program. It's not a problem. But it's not like, you put out, we'll do house programs and people take you up on it in the West. So that's what Prabhupada pointed out. You just, the goal, love of God, then that aspect, then they're very, very happy with. Then it's just a matter of you follow your process with this in mind, then it'll move forward. Whichever particular faith you're following. Because these religion and faith, these things can adjust. But the eternal religion of the soul as servant of God, that doesn't adjust. So if they're seeing themselves as servant, they're serving like that, then they'll move forward. But at the same time, is when it comes to information about what's going on, then the Vedic literature, that's the authority. The others give very, very little. They talk about something, but not much. The personality of God is worshipped by exalted demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. The original Mayavadi sannyasi, Shankaracharya, also accepted the fact that the Lord's form is transcendental. Narayana paro vyaktat. Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is beyond the avyakta, the unmanifested material energy. Avyaktad anda sambhava. This material world is a creation of that unmanifested material energy. However, Narayana has his own eternal form, which is not created by the material energy. Simply by worshipping the form of the Lord, one is purified. However, Mayavadi sannyasis are impersonalist philosophers, and they describe the form of the Lord as Maya, or false. How can one be purified by worshipping something false? Right? So they're worshipping personality that's supposedly in their mind false, it's just in the mode of goodness, so therefore temporary, but they're getting purified and getting liberated. So how could something false give you liberation? Right? That would be the thing, because if it's all illusion, then why is it one part works this, one part does that? It's illusion's illusion. Doesn't matter. You have a great meal in a dream, while you're sleeping at night, or someone comes along and beats you with sticks. It doesn't matter. It's all a dream. It's not that one is going to be elevating the other not. They're all illusion. However, Mayavadi sannyasis are impersonalist philosophers, and they deny the form of the Lord as Maya or false. How can one be purified by worshipping something false? Mayavadi philosophers have no sufficient reason for being impersonalists. They blindly follow a principle that cannot be supported by reason or argument. But it means that there's not enough philosophy to support their position. Right? This was the situation with Prakasananda Saraswati, the chief Mayavadi sannyasi of Banaras. He was supposed to teach Vedanta philosophy, but he would not accept the form of the Lord. Therefore, he was attacked by leprosy. Okay, so here it says like that. Nonetheless, he continued to commit sins by describing the absolute truth as impersonal. right, rather than take it as maybe this is a sign. Right? The absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, always displays pastimes and activities, but Mayavadi sannyasis claim that these activities are false. Some people falsely claim that Prakashananda Saraswati later became known as Prabodhananda Saraswati, right after meeting Lord Chaitanya. But this is not a fact. Prabodhananda Saraswati was the uncle and spiritual master of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. In his Grihastha life, Prabodhananda Saraswati was a resident of Sri Ranga Kshetra, and he belonged to the Vaishnava Ramanuja Sampradaya. It is a mistake to consider Prakashananda Saraswati and Prabodhananda Saraswati the same man. Right? So it's always important, and this is what the acharyas say, that's what's accepted. Because we might see that your modern historians and all that, they come up with so many other ideas. But what's their purpose? They go out, try to collect information. What information they document, what they don't, how they document it, that's going to be according to their condition. Then, who are they getting this information from? Other conditioned souls who will have the same problem. So you might be getting things that aren't actually correct, and then you're taking them and categorizing in your own way that's even different from what you gathered. You come to your own conclusion, right? Because you're the academic, right? So then, you know better than the guys that are there on the scene. But if they have motives, then again, you're already distracted. So one has to be very careful about that, because otherwise sometimes people bring up stuff that in history this or that. That's why you see now and again Prabhupada, then mentions how sometimes these different personalities, they try to adjust the history to make things look bad. For the Gaudiyas and that, or for Vaishnavas in general.
Even chronologically, it was Lord Chaitanya meets Prabhupada Saraswati first. He meets Prakashananda Saraswati after.
Yes. Yes, and he also meets him again before going to Puri. Yeah, telling him I'm going to Puri, and then Prabodhananda was going to Navadvip to see Satyamata. Yeah, because then that means then he would have, Prakashananda would have already been at Navadvip and already met Jagannath Mishra and Satyamata and seen Vishwarup. But that was Prabodhananda Saraswati. Yeah, because he mentioned that, because he met him and asked, who are you, and this and that, and they're discussing. And then he mentioned, that he's going to Navadvip, and he says, what's happening and all this. And he mentions his house, and after that, he said all that, and he says, that was my house, that was my parents and my brother. Yeah. So but whatever, people like to come up with these things because they have some agenda like that. So we always have to be very, very careful on the historical things. We listen to the acharyas, even if they present it like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, not necessarily in a chronological order. That doesn't matter. That doesn't make it any less historically valid. Like that. If the only thing is that it's in order, then, whoopee.
Maharaj, you can say it is the same for everything.
Yes.
So it's clear for the different religion also. People have some different intentions.
Yes, yes. Different intentions.
Yes, it's always. So actually, only the acharya can say the real truth.
Yes, only the acharya, because the shastras are there. We may or may not understand the shastra. Yes. So we have to hear from the acharyas. That's the point. And then for us to understand that, then we hear from the devotees. Like that.
And we said it is one of the difficulties, like many person in different religion. It can be also in Vaishnavism. If we go a little out, the acharya, we take shelter from a person with little conditioned soul. After there are problems coming.
Yes, yes. They go, if there's some agenda, something this, that, then you can always get so easily distracted.
Yes.
One has to be very, very careful. Because that's why Prabhupada then points out it's a razor's edge.
Yes.
It means it's that exact. But you go on the path, you'll find it quite comfortable to walk.
Yes.
Just like the material world is a vast ocean, but when you take shelter of the spiritual master in that, it becomes reduced down to the size of a cat's hoofprints. So in the same way, that path becomes very comfortable.
Yes.
You know, it's not that you have to go on the path wearing rollerblades or something so you can stay right on the edge, you know, like that. You know, so yeah. Ah, see, Chaitanya Charitamrita is already, you know, static symptoms and everything. Tears from the eyes, he's becoming stunned, you see, you know, so many things.
He's trying to cloud our vision with his impersonal philosophy.
Well, you do have, it means you have that aspect, but then you also have the aspect of particular living entities with their own particular agenda that you may or may not appreciate. You know, and here when we say materialistic point of view, we especially mean about the point is the essential thing to appreciate.
I remember many years ago, it was in the Gurukul. One time it was so big smoke, we cannot even see you.
But you have to understand what it's like that, mosquitoes can't see you either. So, yeah, we used to have a few.
Mosquitoes, they go by smell.
Yes.
They don't go by vision, actually.
Yeah, they go
they smell.
Smell, yeah, that's true. But this also, I think, makes it, they can't smell, and it also makes it hard to breathe because they become dazed. They just flow. These, they could be flying past you. They won't, like, there went one. They won't bite you.
Yeah.
Because they just can't tell what, there they are. They're looking for where there's some fresh air. Here's one. Here. And you'll get more benefit. Because the smoke goes up, so we won't get as much benefit.
This is barely.
Yeah. We always use cow dung. Yeah, wood smoke wouldn't be. You know, I mean, if we were if you bring into the element what would be. The fiddler on the roof aphorism, then we could burn frankincense. But yes. Since it's not, then cow dung it is. A brahmana who saw the wonderful behavior of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Prakashananda Saraswati and described the Lord's characteristics. The Brahmin told Prakashananda Saraswati, "There is a sannyasi who has come from Jagannath Puri, and I cannot describe his wonderful influence and glories. Everything is wonderful about that sannyasi. He has a very well-built and luxuriant body, and his complexion is like purified gold. He has arms that extend to his knees, and eyes are like the lotus, the petals of a lotus. In his person are all the transcendental symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When one sees all these features, one takes him to be Narayana himself. Whoever sees him immediately begins to chant the holy name of Krishna. We have heard about the symptoms of a first-class devotee in Srimad Bhagavatam, and all those symptoms are manifest in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His tongue is always chanting the holy name of Krishna, and from his eyes tears incessantly fall like the flowing Ganges. Sometimes he dances, laughs, sings, and cries, and sometimes he roars like a lion. His name, Krishna Chaitanya, is all auspicious for the world. Everything about him, his name, form, and qualities is unparalleled. Simply by seeing him, one understands that he possesses all the characteristics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such characteristics are certainly uncommon. Who will believe it?" Prakashananda Saraswati laughed very much to hear this description. Joking and laughing at the Brahmin, he began to speak as follows. Right, because the Brahmin was coming to him, here's the sannyasi, he goes to Prakashananda, he's a sannyasi. He's telling about this wonderful sannyasi that's here, thinking that he might be inspired. Right? Prakashananda says what he said. "Yes, I have heard of him. He is a sannyasi from Bengal and he is very sentimental. I have also heard that he belongs to the Bharati Sampradaya, who is a disciple of Keshara Bharati. However, he is only a pretender." Srila Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was considered bhavuka, sentimental, because he was always seen in the bhava stage. That is, he always exhibited ecstatic love for Krishna. However, foolish people considered him sentimental. Right? So it means he always has the devotional sentiments on the highest platform. But that doesn't mean sentimental, that it's not real. Right? In the material world, so-called devotees sometimes exhibit emotional symptoms. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love cannot be compared to the imitative emotional exhibition of pretenders. Such exhibitions do not continue for very long. They are temporary. We actually see that some emotional imitators exhibit certain symptoms, but immediately after their exhibition, they are attracted to smoking and other things. In the beginning, when Prakashananda Saraswati heard of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities, he considered them to be those of a pretender. Consequently, he called him a loka prataraka, a pretender. Mayavadis cannot understand the transcendental symptoms exhibited by a devotee. Therefore, when such symptoms are manifest, the Mayavadis equate them with temporary emotional feelings. However, Prakashananda Saraswati's statement is offensive, and consequently he should be considered an atheist, Pashandi. According to Srila Rupa Goswami, since Prakashananda Saraswati was not engaged in the Lord's devotional service, his sannyas is to be considered Falgu Vairagya. This means that since he did not know how to use things for the Lord's service, his renunciation of the world was artificial. Right? Because they're giving up the engagement of the senses, but the soul still has senses. Then they think they're going to become liberated and do nothing. This is all artificial. So it's not real. You could say, no, but they're so renounced and this and that. But it's not real because it's the position of the soul. So that's not renunciation for the soul. Because if you're taking something that's not yours and giving it up, what's the big renunciation? Like that. So, but the point is engaging yourself in the Lord's service, engaging the senses, that's real vairagya. That's yukta vairagya. So it's not understood because, you know, we see is that we can easily become fascinated, wasn't it? Fascinated by people's qualities and attempts and results in the material world. But the point is all these qualities all come from Krishna. And coming from Krishna, then, you know, they're doing something that there, but it's not theirs. So only if one's a devotee and now you're using things for Krishna, you understand it's, you know, by Krishna's mercy. But still, the results are given to the living entity, right? Because devotional service is eternal. So it goes with you. Karma then doesn't go with you. So that's the thing that's imitative. So they're imitating trying to be God. You know, and so having all knowledge and renunciation, they're trying to imitate that. So if you look from the transcendental platform, then, you know, I see. Prakashananda Saraswati continued, I know that his name is Chaitanya and that he is accompanied by many sentimentalists. His followers dance with him and he tours from country to country and village to village. Whoever sees him accepts him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, since he has some mystic power by which he hypnotizes people. Right? Because they can't believe that it could be real. So, you know, he'll take it that he's just going and he's a sentimentalist, but now he's giving him accrediting. How about you see all these things? Oh, that's because he's a mystic like that. And because of that, that's why then he's controlling the people. Anyone who sees him becomes illusioned. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a very learned scholar. But I have heard that he also has become a madman due to his association with the Chaitanya. This Chaitanya is a sannyasian name only. Actually, he is a first-class magician. Okay, well, at least he sees something very expert. In any case, his sentimentalism cannot be very much in demand here in Kashi. Do not go to see, because everybody's a Mayavadi. So he says, no, it doesn't matter. Other places he may do well, but here. Do not go to see Chaitanya. Just continue hearing Vedanta. If you associate with upstarts, you will be lost in this world and in the next. In other words, you'll be lost in this world and in the next, because in this world you won't take part in it, you know, because of devotional service, and the next world you go back to Godhead. So a statement is true if you want to stay in the material world. Srila Prabhupada, the word uch charin kala means whimsical, is significant in this verse. In the Bhagavad Gita 16:23, Lord Krishna himself says, Ya shastra vidhim utsrijya vartate kama karataha na sa siddhim avapnoti na sukham na param gatim. If one acts whimsically and does not follow the shastric principles, he will never attain perfection, happiness, or the spiritual world. Right, so happiness will be here, perfection will be liberation, or the spiritual world will be devotion. So without following shastra, if you act whimsically, you can't get any of them. Because the material world works by the Krishna's laws, so it's given in the shastra. You follow them, you can get the results of karma again. Or you follow them under the direction of the acharyas, and you get bhakti and go back to Godhead. But to not follow the scriptures, you won't get anything on any level. You may appear so, people say so, and all that, but we don't see that anything's developing and anybody's, you know, doing so well because of this. Mm-hmm. 217, 122, 127. When the Brahmin heard Prakashananda Saraswati speak like this about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became very much grief-stricken. Chanting the holy name of Krishna, he immediately left. The mind of the Brahmin was already purified by seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He therefore went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and described what had taken place before the Mayavadi sannyasi, Prakashananda. Hearing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mildly smiled. The Brahmin then spoke again to the Lord. The Brahmin said, as soon as I uttered your name before him, he immediately confirmed the fact that he knew your name. While finding fault with you, he uttered your name three times, saying, Chaitanya, Chaitanya, Chaitanya. Although he spoke your name three times, he did not utter the name Krishna. Because he uttered your name in contempt, I was very much aggrieved. Srila Prabhupada, Prakashananda Saraswati vilified and blasphemed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Words like Brahma, Chaitanya, Atma, Paramatma, Jagadisha, Ishwara, Virat, Vibhu, Bhuma, Vishwarup, and Vyapaka all indirectly indicate Krishna. However, the chanter of these names is not actually attracted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and his transcendental pastime, because they're all secondary names in that way. One may get a little light from these names, but one cannot understand that the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord. One considers the Lord's names material due to a poor fund of knowledge. Because even there, all these things, because if they're all coming from the material nature, then they're all ultimately, illusion. They're all material. So how they situate themselves materially, and then say from that they'll come to the transcendental platform, doesn't make sense. So by following that, you can get somewhere. Where does the potency come from? So there's no potency. There's no this. It doesn't add up. They don't give enough. Like it said before, they don't. There's not enough to support and evidence that their philosophy has any validity. Mm-hmm. Right. One considers the Lord's names material due to a poor fund of knowledge. Mayavadi philosophers and the Panchopasakas cannot in the least understand the existence of the spiritual world and the blissful variegatedness there, right? Because bliss, variegatedness is what gives rise to bliss. Mm-hmm. That's why there's always the constant, variations in the pastimes to make ever increase the ananda, because it's just different ways to interact with the Lord. So even here, the variety is what causes happiness. Right? They cannot understand the absolute truth and its spiritual varieties, name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Consequently, they conclude that Krishna's transcendental activities are maya. To avoid this misconception, one has to directly cultivate knowledge about the holy name of the Lord. Mayavadi philosophers do not know this fact, and therefore they commit great offenses. One should not hear anything about Krishna or devotional service from the mouths of Mayavadi impersonalists. 217, 128, 132. The Brahmin continued. Why could Prakashananda not utter the names Krishna and Hari? He chanted the name Chaitanya thrice. As far as I'm concerned, simply by seeing you, I am moved to chant the holy names Krishna and Hari. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "The Brahmana, the Mayavadi impersonalists are great offenders unto Lord Krishna. Therefore, they simply utter the words Brahman, Atma, and Chaitanya. Because they are offenders unto Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is identical with his holy name, the holy name Krishna does not manifest in their mouths. The Lord's holy name, his form, and his personality are all one and the same. There's no difference between them. Since all of them are absolute, they are all transcendentally blissful. There's no difference between Krishna's body and himself, or between his name and his self. But as far as the conditioned soul is concerned, one name is different from one's body, from one's original form, and so on." Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is herein pointing out to the Brahman that Mayavadi philosophers cannot understand that the living entity is equal in quality with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because they do not accept this, they think that the living entity has been falsely divided from the original Brahman due to being conditioned by Maya. So here we're saying is that we're qualitatively the same as the Lord, but they don't accept qualities in the Lord, so they don't accept qualities in the living entity. You know? And so then they think that they've been, you know, the living entity has been divided from the original Brahman. But then in the Gita it says that Atma can't be cut. Mm-hmm. So then how would we be here as individuals? Right? You can't cut Krishna, you can't cut us. So where would this division come from? So where's the basis of it? It's not from Gita.
Highly speculative, because what they say is that indivisible Brahman mm-hmm. is divided,
yes.
which is the first contradiction.
Yes.
Then he divided into two parts.
Oh.
The small part,
okay,
covered by Maya, is the Jiva part.
Right.
And then the bigger part, which is covered by Maya, is the Ishvara part.
Yes.
So it becomes real.
Sorry, become
from one. Original, now it's three entities. So it's like, where's this coming from?
And he probably didn't get it from the Greeks, right?
No, of course not.
I'm saying the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost here.
No.
No?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's why it means. But Chaitanya Bhagavat is, who's the author?
Vrindavan
Das Thakur. So he's pointing out there's no basis to establish their philosophy. So it's just speculation, it's bogus. But, you know, they like it, they're attached to it.
Later on, when Lord Chaitanya confronts them, because now he's not going to have a debate, he'll have it later, their reason for following Shankaracharya is so pathetic. I mean, it's just like, hey, you know, it sounds good, so we've been following it, but it doesn't matter. We can't change anything. You know, very, very shallow attitude towards
Mayavadi philosophy. Okay. Means that's specific, coming from Shankara.
Yeah.
Okay. They seem to appreciate the impersonalism.
Yeah, they said, we knew there was something wrong with this presentation of Vedanta, but we didn't want to do anything about it, you know, we just followed it. That's the argument.
Oh, okay.
It's not even philosophy.
But, of course, it's not sentiment, because they can't be sentimentalists, right?
Yes. Yes.
One time I...
But at least they were honest.
At least they were honest, yeah. They are honest. In Vrindavan, there was a group of Mayavadi sannyasis who came into the Krishnabharam temple for darshan. But there was one of them who was turning his back on the deities. And, you know, he didn't want to offer respect or anything. So it was during the days when there were three co-tipis. And there was this Indian devotee from South Africa. I don't remember his name, the sannyasi. He was one of the co-tipis. So after the darshan, whoever was visiting was invited for prasadam. So the Mayavadi sannyasi sat, and the co-tipi said, "You don't serve." So the devotee with the bucket went, you know, and then the root and kept serving. And that sannyasi turned his back and said, "What's going on?" He said, "It's all one. Prasadam, no prasadam, deeds, no deeds, it's all one, isn't it?" "Well, where's the prasadam?"
Well, they should have put the plate around behind him. You can have, but it has to be behind you.
Or in the following that logic, the Brahman is divided. If I eat, you get in nourishment.
Yes, everybody. Because we're all one. So. Yeah, that's the thing. It's very lame. But there, you know. But even here we see they're not necessarily so dedicated. Yes?
I heard Bhaktisiddhanta sort of talk around train while going. Some Mayavadi sannyasis, they were there. And he gave him the pocha bananas to eat. Pocha mangoes, I think.
I mean, they were in the compartment.
Yeah. He said everything is one. He asked disciple to get a pocha mango. One. Two. And he's already done, like, if he eat, like,
yeah.
He offered a message, accepted the
feet. Okay, well, that's good.
You fit it on the basis of mango.
Yes, yes. Yes. We've heard of mango achar. This is mango prachar. Yes. Very effective. Okay. Due to a poor fund of knowledge, they cannot understand that Krishna has no body separate from himself. His body and himself are both the same absolute truth. Not having perfect knowledge of Krishna, such impersonalists certainly commit offenses at his lotus feet. Therefore, they do not utter Krishna, the original name of the absolute truth. In their impersonal way, like it said, Krishna says there's unlimited names, or he has no name, but still Krishna is the original name. And then he has it. In their impersonal way, they utter the name of impersonal Brahman, spirit soul. In other words, they indulge in indirect indications of the absolute truth. Even if they happen to utter the names Govinda, Krishna, or Madhava, they still cannot understand that these names are as good as Govinda, Krishna, or Madhava, the person. Because they are ultimately impersonalists, their uttering of the personal name has no potency. Actually, they do not believe in Krishna, but consider all these names to be material vibrations. Not being able to appreciate the holy name of the Lord, they simply utter indirect names like Brahman, Atman, and Chaitanya. 2:17, 1:33-1:34. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. The holy name of Krishna is transcendentally blissful. It bestows all spiritual benedictions. For it is Krishna himself, the reservoir of all pleasure. Krishna's name is complete, and it is the form of all transcendental mellows. It is not a material name under any condition. And it is no less powerful than Krishna himself. Since Krishna's name is not contaminated by the material qualities, there's no question of its being involved with Maya. Krishna's name is always liberated and spiritual. It is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. This is because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. Footnote 3. This is a quotation from the Padma Purana. The holy name of Krishna, his body, and his pastimes cannot be understood by the blunt material senses. They are manifest independently. Srila Prabhupada. Since Krishna's transcendental body, name, form, qualities, pastimes, and entourage are all the absolute truth, they are as good as Krishna himself. Satchidananda Vigraha. As long as the living entity is conditioned by the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, the objects of his material senses, material form, taste, smell, sound, and touch, will not help him understand spiritual knowledge and bliss. Rather, these are revealed to the pure devotee. One's material name, form, and qualities are certainly different from one another. In the material world, there is no conception of absolute. However, when we come to Krishna consciousness, we find that there is no material difference between Krishna's body and his names, activities, and entourage. Right, so in the material world, there's no concept of absolute. So you even see as in the intellectual circles, they're talking about, oh, no, that's not logical. It has to be according to science. It has to be objective and all this. But if you say, this is the conclusion, this is the absolute truth, they'll say, no, there's not an, it's all relative. So even by their own definition, that they're saying you're wrong, but by when you try to go to the higher level of things, they'll say is that there is no absolute. So then why are they saying what you're saying is wrong? Because just as this happens to be what they say today, and tomorrow when they say it's wrong, it's not science anymore. So then if it's not science tomorrow and it is today, why would we consider today it's, important? So in the material world, there's no actual concept of absolute. But that's why for Socrates, his philosophy was not popular, because he was saying there's an absolute and we have to adjust to the laws of the absolute. And the opposition was, no, we together, what we decide is the law, that's what, in truth, that's what it is. So the material platform, there's no real concept of the absolute. They'll talk about it. They're talking about absolute zero and this and that and, coming up these things, but then at the same time, as they'll say, things aren't absolute.
Absolute zero is Shunyavada.
Yes.
Also, I think Srila Prabhupada mentions that.
But do you need to take some absolute before you get the effect?
Zero?
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
No. Okay.
I mean, Buddhists, they don't. I mean, some of them take sake.
Okay. No, you didn't catch that one.
Yeah. Just thinking of the. D-J-E-R-O of the proper pronunciation. Simply G.
Okay.
Yes. I love the proper pronunciation.
G. Yeah. Yes, yes.
So actually, there are only more or less two approaches to accept Krishna in the Shastra. And if we don't accept Krishna, we automatically have the tendency to create a philosophy or to take some portion and try to make modern science like that. It's just
they try to make their own.
Take it on, yes. There is no other option to accept Krishna or to create something.
Basically, that's it. You either have the absolute truth, or if you don't accept the absolute truth, then you'll have to make up your own own idea.
Yes.
What's important, what's real, what's not, what's authority, what's not.
And we can say the main problem is to preach that new philosophy.
Yes.
Because if they don't preach the new
philosophy. They have their own philosophy and they don't bother anybody else. It's like, it's not, it's, it's a distraction. I mean, it's unfortunate, but at least they don't pollute the world.
Yes, you know.
But then they speak, and whatever intelligent people speak, that's generally what common people follow.
Yes.
Right? Because common people generally don't think too much.
Yes.
So if someone is thinking, then okay, wow, okay, that sounds good.
Yes. In a society, Maharaj, where there is a Vaidashramana is installed, the Brahmana. In a society where Vaidashramana is installed, the modern scientific cannot have any so much influence, actually. If the Brahmana are guiding the people.
Yes, no, if the intellectuals are actually guiding in Krishna consciousness, then everything works very nicely. But if they're guiding in something else, then people will take that as important.
Yes.
You know? Because the general thing is we're just going to be, you know, for us, eating, sleeping, mating, defending is pretty much a full-time occupation.
Yes.
And only when we get frustrated, then we start to think about something more, you know. And if people just say, no, you know, you can do it, then, you know, we're comfortable with that. You know? So then we go on. So, yes, basically you either know the absolute truth, or Maya will arrange according to your nature and that, you know, some nice philosophy, some inspiration for you.
Yes.
So it's not that these are new. You know, gross materialism, you know, Charvak was there.
Yes.
So you always have, there's nothing new. All these philosophies are standard things. Every universe, you're going to have the six systems of philosopher.
Mm-hmm.
So some jiva is going to be Gotama. Some jiva is going to be Vaisheshika. You know, like this, it's always going to be there. And since it's in the Veda, it's always going to be those names.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that it'll change.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
It actually boils down to what is the origin of universe and what is the origin of life or jiva.
Right.
Everybody has a different explanation, even all the six schools.
Right.
If they get one right, they're wrong in the other. Most of the time, they're wrong in both. Sometimes one part is like...
Or even they might have a part in one or a part in that, yeah.
Yeah. And even the modern scientists also, all they're trying to do is trying to explain this too. Origin of life
and
universe.
And universe, yeah. Because that's all that you can discuss.
Yeah.
And the highest you can get is there's an absolute that is unchanging and eternal. That's the highest they can get. Because that's all the modes of nature offer. So it's not that you can say, no, you can go beyond. No, you can't, because that's all that Maya gives. Because she works under Krishna, and that's all that Krishna reveals.
So.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. So that's then you know that properly and the Lord, and then what's your process and your result? Yeah, because they'll also have some concept of the Absolute. So that's why in the Upanishadic version, Chitta, Chit, Ishwar, Sadhana, Sadhya, that five, if you have the definitions of a philosophy, then you can clearly see where they stand. Because otherwise, if you ask, oh, what is your philosophy, they'll go on forever. There's books and books, but you can just have these five, you know. So you should be able to give, you know, very short, and then you can give longer explanation. That makes sense. Srila Prabhupada, since Krishna's transcendental body, name, form, qualities, pastimes, and entourage are all the absolute truth, they are as good as Krishna himself, Satchidananda Vigraha. As long as the living entity is conditioned by the three modes of material nature. Didn't we just read this?
Yes, we did.
Okay. One's material name, form, and qualities are certainly different from one another. In the material world, there's no conception of absolute. However, when we come to Krishna consciousness, we find that there is no material difference between Krishna's body and his name, his activities, and entourage. You don't have that material concept.
Mm-hmm.
So the material existence is a concept.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I can be the controller and enjoyer, and then according to how you want to do that, then Maya arranges different things. But it's all Krishna's energy working under Krishna's laws. So even you want benefit from it, you still have to follow the laws. And if you follow, you get. And if you don't follow, you don't get. Yes.
Even some Mayavadi schools they accept that the Brahman is Satchitananda, because it's straight from the Veda.
Right.
But they say without energy. But then how the Satchitananda manifests if it is without energy?
Yes.
So they separate two inseparable things.
Yes. So, and then but at the same time say everything's one.
Yes.
And then when you say Satchitananda, this is all one, they'll say no, it's two.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Where it is one, they'll say it's two. Where it is two, they'll say it's one.
Yeah. So they argue on that point that the Brahman is Satchitananda, but they say it's not his qualities. But then how the whole thing is manifested? It's through the energies.
Yeah.
It's through his.
Yes. That as soon as you accept that God has qualities, then all difficulties in philosophy go away. Everything falls into line as soon as you acknowledge that God is a person with qualities. Then everything can be easily explained. But when one tries to ignore that, then you have so many different ways to approach it, because each one is defective. And so where, you know, like you're saying, Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur, Prakashananda Saraswati, they're all studying, but they can see that there's problems. But they go on because, you know, what else are you going to do? They're too old to do something else, you know, like that. So they just, but when you're dealing with the absolute, you accept, then there's one understanding. Like that. So in the spiritual world, there's one understanding. There may be differences in taste on the relationship with the Lord, but there's one understanding that the Lord is supreme, the jivas are his servant. There's no question of any other understanding. Is that 217, 135 to 137. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. Krishna's holy name, transcendental qualities, and transcendental pastimes are all equal to Lord Krishna himself. They are all spiritual and full of bliss. Therefore, quote, therefore material senses cannot appreciate Krishna's holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes. When a conditioned soul is awakened to Krishna consciousness and renders service by using his tongue to chant the Lord's holy name and taste the remnants of the Lord's food, the tongue is purified and one gradually comes to understand who Krishna really is. Footnote 4. This verse is recorded in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.234. You know this one? Is this Atakri Shri Krishna Namadi? Yeah, Jihwa, what is it? Sevan Mukhihi Jihwa Dao. The mellows of Lord Krishna's pastimes. See, the acharyas are so they hear the, and they catch that. It's so essential, and then becomes there. The mellows of Lord Krishna's pastimes, which are full of bliss, attract the jnani from the pleasure of Brahman realization and conquer him. Because right? One who is on that platform of they don't blaspheme. See here, Mayavadis, then they're offenders because they say it's all Maya. While Brahmavadis, or the jnanis, they don't say it's Maya, it's all Brahman. Because if you say it's all Brahman, it should be all Brahman. So there is no illusion. The illusion also has to be part of Brahman.
Yes.
You know? Yes. And so therefore, then they're not offensive to the form of the Lord.
Yes.
So then they can actually come in contact and then be attracted. The Atmaramas. But the Mayavadis, they're just, you know, as Prabhu was saying about, they accept Satchitananda, because then the advantage is that they can have Brahmananda, and they want to be happy, and they want to be all knowledgeable, and, you know, eternal and unlimited. So then they don't mind that these qualities are there, because then that means that they have those qualities. But at the same time, as they'll say, they're not qualities. So... Yes.
We'll go in detail in the next adhyaya of Paramatma Sandarbha.
Oh.
The first one is the Paricheda Var, where is the bifurcation.
About all the philosophies.
Yeah. The bifurcation, they accept like Brahman is himself like, you know, dividing and forming the universe. The origin of universe is Brahman. So that way they can maintain the Satchidananda aspect.
Right.
We have something. But then it didn't work out how Brahman can, like, no, that means the Brahman can change, means it is like according to the, it's not according to the proper philosophy.
Mm.
And the next ones, then they started this theory of reflection and shadow.
Mm.
But the problem with that is, then there is no reality at all on a material level, because it is just the buzzword, aropya. It's just what you call as...
We're projecting.
Projecting. So the next one started becoming more and more crazier.
Each one becomes crazier than the last.
Then ekajeva vad is...
Yeah, that was so far out.
Where did you study this before?
We studied in the Nanda Sutra.
Yes.
I remember.
Yes, so it'll come up again.
Tattva Sandarbha we studied, but it was in...
Yeah, just so we are clear about
make sure.
It.
But now we'll read more elaborately in the context of origin of universe.
Origin of?
Universe.
Oh, the universe.
Yeah, because he says that all these philosophies, there's what's the origin of the universe, what's the origin of the living entity or life. So every philosophy is dealing with that. He said even scientists, that's the two things that they're trying to understand. So all philosophies will talk about these two.
Well, scientists nowadays, it's all clear. It's all from matter. They say universe is from matter and the living entities are from matter.
Matter.
So it's not that. I mean, it's very, very primitive.
Very primitive.
Like, doesn't make any sense, but then somehow everybody agrees to it.
But that's the Maya Pratijnana.
Yeah.
Is that they're so intelligent that Maya steals their intelligence and they come up with these very foolish theories. Yes?
Just yesterday I was looking in one of the prominent, like, what is the cutting edge psychology book? And the first question that was, like, put is psychology science or myth? I put it's a science. It's wrong, it's a myth. Thank you. Like all kind of explanation.
And that's the discipline itself is saying that. Job.
They're not even up to psychology, forget about the philosophy.
So that means having a degree in psychology is also a myth.
Myth in the sense, like they want to put it, like it cannot be exactly called as a science because you cannot prove it.
But the thing is if it's a myth, then can you, after sitting in the chair there and talking for some time, can you give them, mythical, like a mythical trunk of gold or something like that? You know, send it to them in their, to their avatar in their particular video game that they're playing in or something? Mm-hmm. Like that. So.
Anything which you cannot put it in mathematical formula is a myth.
Is a myth.
Everything should be able to put all
so then the idea that they think that they're so special or this or that, can they mathematically prove that?
Yeah, they measure IQ.
But at the same time, why is he outstanding? Why did he get the Nobel Prize? Or, but why is IQ taken as the main? I guess because they're just taking it as math, because that's the only thing they can do.
I'm saying that's what they measure.
Okay, so they measure by that.
But we also have a mathematical equation. 1 plus 1 equals 1. 1 minus 1.
Yes, equals 1. Yes, so we also do things by math. You heard? No, she was saying we also have mathematical equations to prove the absolute. 1 plus 1 equals 1. 1 minus 1 equals 1. So we also have.
So we are science, not a myth.
Yes. Therefore we see. We're a science. Srila Prabhupada, when one understands he belongs not to the material world but to the spiritual world, one is called liberated. Being situated in the spiritual world is certainly pleasurable. But those who realize the transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Lord Krishna enjoy transcendental bliss many times more than one who has simply realized the self. Right, so you see, as those who have realized the self, the jnanis, they've come to the spiritual platform. And there's definitely going to be some happiness there. It's certainly pleasurable, Prabhupada says. But it won't compare to those who accept that worship the name, form, qualities, and pastimes in Krishna and his personal feature. Like that. When one is situated on the platform of self-realization, he can certainly be easily attracted by Krishna and become a servant of the Lord. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita 18:54. Brahma bhuta prasanatma na sochati na kankshati sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. When one becomes spiritually realized, Brahma-bhuta, he becomes happy, prasanatma, for he is relieved from material conceptions. One who has attained this platform is not agitated by material action and reaction. He sees everyone on the platform of spirit soul, pandita samadarshinaha, Bhagavad Gita 5:18. When one is completely realized, he can rise to the platform of pure devotional service. Mad bhaktim labhate param, Bhagavad Gita 18:54. When one comes to the platform of bhakti, devotional service, he automatically realizes who Krishna is. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhaktiyamam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvataha. Tatvato gyatva vishate tad anantaram. One can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. It is only on the bhakti platform that one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and his transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes, and entourage. Being thus qualified spiritually, one is allowed to enter the spiritual kingdom of God and return home back to Godhead. Vishate tad anantaram. 217, 138, 142. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, the son of Vyasa, Vyasadeva, Sukadeva Goswami. It is he who defeats all inauspicious things within this universe. Although in the beginning he was absorbed in the happiness of Brahman realization and was living in a secluded place, giving up all other types of consciousness, he became attracted by the most melodious pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna. He therefore mercifully spoke the Supreme Purana, known as Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the bright light of the Absolute Truth, and which describes the activities of Lord Krishna. Footnote 5. This verse was spoken by Suta Goswami in Srimad Bhagavatam 12:12:69. The transcendental qualities of Sri Krishna are completely blissful and relishable. Consequently, Lord Krishna's qualities attract even the minds of self-realized persons from the bliss of self-realization. Those who are self-satisfied and unattracted by external material desires are also attracted to the loving service of Sri Krishna. Yes, those qualities are transcendental and those activities are wonderful. Hari, the Personality of Godhead, is called Krishna because he has such transcendentally attractive features. Footnote 6. This is the famous Atmarama verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.10. Apart from the pastimes of Lord Krishna, when tulsi leaves are offered at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, even the aroma of the leaves attracts the minds of self-realized persons. Quote, when the breeze carrying the aroma of the tulsi leaves and saffron from the lotus feet of the lotus-eyed Personality of Godhead entered through the nostrils into the hearts of those sages, the Kumaras, They experienced a change in both body and mind, even though they were attached to the impersonal Brahman understanding. Srila Prabhupada. This is the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15:43. Vidura and Maitreya discussed the pregnancy of Diti. Diti's pregnancy caused the demigods to be very much afraid, and the demigods went to see Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma explained the original incident involving the cursing of Jaya and Vijaya by the Chatushana Kumaras. Once the Chatushana Kumaras, is it? Or it just doesn't have the thing?
No,
yes, but I mean saying it's sanas. Once the Chatushana Kumaras went to Vaikuntha to visit Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But they were stopped from entering the palace at the seventh gate by two doorkeepers named Jaya and Vijaya. Due to their jealousy, Jaya and Vijaya would not allow the Kumaras entry, and consequently the Kumaras became angry and cursed Jaya and Vijaya, condemning them to take birth in the family of Asuras in the material world. The omniscient Personality of Godhead could immediately understand the incident, and he came with his eternal consort, the goddess of fortune. The Chatushana Kumaras immediately offered their obeisances unto the Lord. Simply by seeing the Lord and smelling the aroma of tulsi and saffron from his lotus feet, the Kumaras became devotees and abandoned their long-cherished impersonalism. Thus the four Kumaras were turned into Vaishnavas simply by smelling the aromatic tulsi mixed with saffron. Those who are actually on the platform of Brahman realization and who have not offended the lotus feet of Krishna can immediately become Vaishnav simply by smelling the aroma of the Lord's lotus feet. But those who are offenders or demons are never attracted to the Lord's personal feature, even though they may visit the Lord's temples many times. In Vrindavan, we have seen many Mayavadi sannyasis who do not even come to the temple of Govindaji, Gopinath, or Madan Mohan, because they think that such temples are Maya. Therefore, they are called Maya bodies. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore said that the Maya bodies are the greatest offenders, because they say it has no form. Others don't think about it.
Yes.
You know, but they preach it like that. That's the thing. Like you see in the contemporary religions, that if you push, you know, about what's the Lord's, they'll say he has no form. But they don't preach it. But the Mayavadis specifically go out and preach. And if you say, as if an adult, they'll preach against it. So that's why they're the greatest offenders. Others may be offenders, but they're the greatest. You know, because everything's coming from his form. So that means, you know, by denying the form, you're denying, you know, everything.
Yes. Yes.
Like that.
What's the story of somebody who was distorting the words in the Gita and then there were marks on the back? Every word
was
distorted.
Oh, I think that was Gita Govinda.
Jayadev Goswami.
Jayadev. There's also Baladev Goswami.
There was something with the Mayavadi distorting
the word of the Gita. Oh, yeah, there's another story like that. I don't remember that. I kind of vaguely remember that. You know? No? No? You'll find it, okay. Yes?
Also with the Mayavadis, the difference is what they say about when Lord comes into the material world, then he is under the control of Maya. But for others, they don't say like that. It's not only that, like, no, Lord is impersonal. When he comes to the material world, then he has to, the personal form is Maya. They just speak is Brahman ultimately. Okay, there may be a form, but they don't say that when
is Brahman.
He doesn't take, Brahman is taking form. It's like Maya taking form. That they're more specifically attacking on the personal.
Yeah, so they're from Mayavadi.
Yeah.
Your philosophy that everything's Maya. Two 17:143. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, because the Mayavadis are great offenders, and atheistic philosophers, the holy name of Krishna does not come from their mouths, Srila Prabhupada. Because they are constantly blaspheming the Supreme Personality of Godhead by saying that he has no head, hands, or legs, Mayavadi philosophers remain offenders for many, many births, even though they have partially realized Brahman. However, if such impersonalists are not offenders at the lotus feet of the Lord, they immediately become devotees in the association of a devotee. In other words, if an impersonalist is not an offender, he can become a devotee if he gets a chance to associate with other devotees. If he is an offender, he cannot be converted even by the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very much afraid of this Mayavadi offender. Therefore, he spoke as follows. 2:17, 144-145. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, I have come here to sell my emotional, ecstatic sentiments in the city of Kashi, but I cannot find any customers. They are not sold. I must take them back home. I have brought a heavy load to sell in the city. To take it back again is a very difficult job. Therefore, if I get but a fraction of the price, I shall sell it here in the city of Kashi. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was selling the transcendental holy name of the Lord, but Kashi was the city of Mayavadis, impersonalists, and such people will never chant the holy names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Consequently, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeling disappointed. How could he teach the Mayavadis the importance of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? The attraction for chanting the holy name of the Lord belongs absolutely to pure devotees, and there was no possibility of finding pure devotees at Kashi. Consequently, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's commodity was certainly very heavy. The Lord therefore suggested that even though there were no pure devotees in Kashi, if someone was a little inclined to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, he would deliver this big load, although the proper price was not paid.
In other words, no greed, just little things.
Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah. Actually, we experienced this when we came to preach the Hare Krishna movement in the West. When we came to New York in 1965, we never expected that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra would be accepted in this country. Nonetheless, we invited people to our storefront to join in chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra. And the Lord's name is so attractive that simply by coming to our storefront in New York, fortunate young people became Krishna conscious. Although this mission was started with insignificant capital, it is now going nicely. The spreading of the Hare Krishna mantra in the West has become successful because the young people are not offenders. The youths who joined this movement were not very advanced as far as purity is concerned, nor were they very well educated in Vedic knowledge. But because they were not offenders, they could accept the importance of the Hare Krishna movement. We are now very happy to see this movement is advancing more and more in the Western countries. We therefore conclude that the so-called Mleshas and Yavanas of the Western countries are more purified than offensive Mayavadis or atheistic impersonalists. After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted that Brahmin as his devotee. The next morning, rising very early, the Lord started for Mathura. Okay, so this is why it was a short visit.
Yes.
So he stayed with, what is it?
Chandrasekhar
and Tapa Mishra. And then, you know, he met this Brahmin and then he left.
We can see now that Mahaprabhu is very merciful because he came mainly for these two, Chandrasekhar and Prabhupada, and they have a lot of association together.
Yes, yes. Stayed for some days. And then after this, they're criticizing, so he left. Verses 147 to 155. The Lord continues towards Mathura. 2:17, 147, 149. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started for Mathura, all three devotees started to go with him. But the Lord forbade them to accompany him, and from a distance he asked them to return home. Feeling separation from the Lord, the three used to meet and glorify the holy qualities of the Lord. Thus they were absorbed in ecstatic love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to Prayag, where he bathed at the confluence of the Ganges and Jamuna. He then visited the temple of Veni Madhava and chanted and danced there in ecstatic love. Okay, so Allahabad is where the Triveni, they come together.
Yeah.
But it mentioned that in Varanasi, then in Kashi, there's five rivers that come. But you don't see them anymore.
Yeah.
Prayagraj.
Hmm?
Prayagraj.
They
changed the name?
Yes.
Allahabad.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's Prayagraj.
Sounds good.
Yeah, why not?
Because it's all Muslim given names. India and Allahabad.
Yeah, that, even Hindustan. So now it'll be Bharatistan or something.
Bharatvarsha.
Oh,
that's true. They changed it. You got a ticket.
And
no, before it says Prayagraj, and I don't understand where we.
Where's Prayagraj? Where are we going to end up here?
The sign of changing is the first thing they change is the station name. Railway station.
Yeah. It is changed. Yeah, railway station.
Yeah, because then the maximum people see it.
Then the airport they also change.
Yeah, because otherwise, where else in the city is the name there? Right? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.